Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. We'll read verses 1 through 8. And then hear the words of a sermon preached by a reformer in Germany, Martin Luther, almost 500 years ago. What's so delightful is to see how God's Spirit works in preachers in every generation, different styles, different needs, different providential requirements in their preaching. And of course, Martin Luther is a historical favorite. Just his passion and zeal for the gospel of grace and the gospel of grace by faith alone in Christ alone. We'll read Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, and then focus in particular on one verse that Luther singles out in his sermon. Matthew 9, verse 1 through 8, listen closely, this is God's word. Jesus stepped into a boat and crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying upon a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pause for prayer. Oh Lord, we do pray you would bless this word read, and as we hear the words preached by a great reformer, Martin Luther, that you would stir up within us a love again of the gospel of grace, knowing that we at times take it for granted. We've heard since our childhood of these wonderful teachings of Scripture that were in the darkness shrouded by ignorance long ago. Thank you, O Lord, for hearing our prayers. We ask this in Christ's name, and let us all say amen. My friends in Christ, as we hear and as we enjoy this gospel every year, I hope that you understand it. And I hope you know what it teaches, and may God grant the right life also that follows such knowledge. You know, we often hear with the ear, but do we live according to it? Preachers can do no more than preach it, and no further than raise it and carry it. And we shall do so until God comes again. May he give all of us grace to the end, that our words be few, and that life may spring forth. Amen. Our verse today is this: "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven." These words, they can show and contain what the kingdom of Christ is. Namely, it is a sweet voice: "Thy sins are forgiven." In no other sense should we view this kingdom of God except how to stand before God and stand before our neighbor. So we must hold fast to these words and any saying like them found in the gospel. Now, from this it follows that the kingdom of Christ is best realized where there is comfort and forgiveness of sins, not only in word but in deed, as we shall see in our text. For Jesus, did not only speak these words into the ear of this sick man, he also forgave that man his sins, thus comforting him, as they should you and me. For you see, these words are quickly and easily said and heard, but when it comes to the test, they can be lost. Satan soon leads us astray, and as you observe here, the scribes undertake to destroy the knowledge of the gospel. I have said it before, and I will say it again, learn the character of Christ. It is easy to fall from the teaching faith into the teaching of works. But here in this story, you see no works at all, no merit, no commands, no law. There is nothing but the offer of Christ to help, his comfort, his grace. Only kindness meets this man sick of the palsy. And so, if the kingdom of God is to grow, we must keep away from the law and not be busy with such works. We must not say to one another, go out and run hither and thither and atone for your sins. You must observe to do this and that, and then you will be free from sin. No, it is all of pure grace that your sins are forgiven. There are at present, God's people, fanatics in this day boasting of the Holy Spirit, pretending to be better, some of whom are even in our midst. They listen to our preaching, and then they contend that it is not enough to only preach faith and love. No, they say, you must do better. You must climb higher. How high must we climb? They say, you must destroy pictures. You must kill the ungodly. You must do whatever they propose. They make their works a necessity and say, if you do this, then you are a Christian. If you will not do this, you are no Christian. They want to be esteemed better than others. I say, my friends, I would beseech all of you not to esteem any spirit that proposes to you salvation by these works. Call it what you may, even if they could raise the dead, which they've not been able to do. Even if they say, kill the godless. Even if they say, Moses commanded that you should really do it. What sort of Christians would we be? If you give me a work to do, it is not the Holy Spirit who does it. The Holy Spirit goes and first brings me the grace of Christ and then leads me to works, and much better works. He does not first insist on such works, but first leads us to God through his sweet word and grace. Then later, you will find enough to do for your neighbor. But the fanatics, they torment us with their works. They profess to have a nobler spirit. They urge and they insist upon doing something first, and they let faith and love be overlooked. This is not of the Holy Spirit. Christ first takes possession of the conscience, and when it is right in faith toward God, then he directs it to us in works for our neighbor. But he first highly extols faith and keeps works in the background. They cannot understand this. You know, I would forgive these fanatics everything if they would not mix in their good works, to which they trust their entire existence and their honor and their fame. I would not even care about their destroying pictures and melting cups and bells into one mass, but that they should make it a matter of conscience for those who do not do such things, just as though the Holy Spirit or faith were not present in them unless their deeds were done. This filth is entering nearly every community where the gospel has been planted. These are tares of Satan, and they would also come to us, as I have often warned you, so take heed. Remain sound in your knowledge in the true doctrine of Christ, for this knowledge is light and easily, this knowledge is easily lost. You have the true light, so be warned. Test the spirits. We do not wish to prefer ourselves as these people do, but we boast in this, that we have heard the word, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. Amen. The kingdom of Christ consists in us finding all praise and boast in God's grace. Other works are not to be urged, nor should we wish by them to become Christians. Hear the gospel and hold fast to its expression, thy sins are forgiven. These words are to be taken to heart. They are nothing but pure grace, no work by which the conscience should be oppressed and forced to do something. With these words of Jesus, protect yourself against the false teachers. Now, all hear this gospel, but it does not enter into the heart of all. All do not feel their sins. The gospel preaches that everything we have in us is sin. And the gospel also gives the comfort of forgiveness. God's people, sin is pure unhappiness, and forgiveness is pure happiness. And if I am to receive forgiveness of sins, I must first acknowledge my sin. I must confess them. And when I have confessed them, forgiveness and grace immediately present. When God forgives sin, it is so different than when man forgives sin. One man forgives another's his sins, but in a way, he thinks of them again tomorrow and can even cast them before another. But God condemns no more. God banishes all anger. Yea, he thinks of our sin no more. Now, if this wrath be gone, then hell and the devil and death and misfortune that the devil brings with him must disappear. And instead of wrath, God gives grace, comfort, salvation, everything good that he himself is. This then is the kingdom of Christ. Here there is no work. Here there is nothing but simple comfort. It is not by merit. It is a simple gift. This is the gospel upon which our faith depends. For we have no other comfort of which God tells us to boast than that God says, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. Boast not in your work. Now, in our text, when the scribes hear these words, they say among themselves, this man blasphemeth. Well, that happens wherever the gospel is preached and wherever it is truly believed. It is blasphemed upon all sides. This happened in the days of the apostles. This happens even among our raging German princes, do it now, who simply wish the gospel were dead and entirely crushed and destroyed with all of those who preach it and all those who believe it. But it's also happening among our country squires. They enjoy this gospel, as do we, and they do not wish to be followers of the Pope in Rome. They plunge into the gospel, yet by their lives and pride, you can see that they are furiously and actually boasting about the gospel, and they are trusting in their works as well. But still, we have a Lord of protection. He will successfully accomplish his work. Ah, you ask, what then is the importance of good works and of the law? I tell you the importance of good works in the law, and it is this, as it pertains to your neighbor. I need no works before God. I must only be careful to rightly confess my sins. Then, once experienced, I break forth with blessings toward my neighbor. Just as those men who brought the man sick with palsy to our Lord. Such are those who are in the kingdom of God. They bring others to the kingdom of God. For faith precedes works, but then works follow faith. And because they are in the kingdom by faith, they bring the sick man and thus do their work. On this earth lives not people for this, on this earth, man lives not for the sake of works in order that they may be profitable to him. For you are not in need of them. And if you do good works to obtain and merit something from God, all is lost. But since you believe and you continue to live, you ought to know that you live for this very cause, namely, to carry in the sick man. God does not desire the Christian to live for himself. Yea, cursed is the life that lives for self. For all that one lives after he is a Christian, he lives for others. So these also do who bring in the sick man. They no longer live for themselves. By their lives they serve others. Yes, with their faith they win for the sick man a faith of his own. For this sick man had at first no faith. But after he heard the word, after he met the Christ, Christ instills into him a faith of his own and awakens this man to the gospel. Thus all works are to be done. Not to the end that we may see how they agree with service for other people, to bring them to true faith, and to lead them to Christ, that we with them may hear the words of Christ, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel of grace. We thank you that forgiveness is granted to us as a gift. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to thy cross we cling. We come to you, Lord, spiritually palsied, spiritually in need, and you heal us. We pray that we would go forth from your grace and serve as these other men served the needy, sick, and palsied about them. Oh, Lord, let us rejoice in grace. Let us live forth this grace. Thank you for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf, his inspiration, as well as blessed power he gives us to serve. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name, and that all God's people say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.